If you will, look with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to be studying in 1 Samuel about David, a keeper of his father's sheep, and how that's a type and picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the language that's used of God is the shepherd of his flock. When you come to the New Testament, we find applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this is all pertaining to the salvation of his people. Isaiah 40 is a great chapter to show the sovereignty of God in calling out his people, identified here as sheep, and raising up that true shepherd. It's forward looking to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it begins here with the words, "Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God." It's actually in the original, the word to repent, to have a change of mind and heart toward God. And so he says to Isaiah, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her," Jerusalem representing that chosen people of God, spiritually the new Jerusalem, "cry unto her," not against her, "unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Doubly pardoned, doubly forgiven. It's a manner of speaking to show the picture of complete justification, the acquittal, putting away of sin. Again, forward looking to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This is repeated again in the prophet Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 1, and the interpretation of it pertains to John the Baptist. He is that voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. "Every valley shall be exalted," if you can picture this, "valley raised up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." That's a picture of leveling everything that ever stood in the way of God justifying his people. And again, looking forward to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that work that he accomplished at Calvary. "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Here we need to ask not what is the glory of the Lord, but who is the glory of the Lord. You can mark there in the margin, this is the Lord Jesus Christ revealed, and all flesh shall see that glory in him. When it says all flesh, it doesn't mean every single person, but all kinds of flesh. He came to save sinners from every tribe and nation. "And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry?" So this here is the gospel message. It begins with who man is in his flesh. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. And then it's repeated. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And as we've been accustomed to reading, wherever you see that word, word, put a capital W. This is none other than Christ himself. For man is but grass and fadeth. The word of our God, the very expression of his person, shall stand forever. Christ. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. What was in the high mountain but the temple? That bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Is there any question as to whether the Lord Jesus was God in the flesh? All through here we're seeing it. The word of our God shall stand forever. Here, behold your God. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. This is the Christ of Scripture, sovereign in all that he undertook to do. Behold, his reward is with him. That means that he was already given that reward for which he was come to do the work. You say, what was his reward? The people, the sinners that the Father gave him to save. But it says his work before him. God's purpose determined that they should be his reward, but the work had to be accomplished. He had to come and lay down his life, that God the Father might be just and justified. And as a result, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Christ said, I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. This is the good shepherd finding the lost sheep and shall gently lead those that are with young. You may ask, well, who is this God? Well, here he is, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? The way you hear God preach today, he needs our help, but not the God of Scripture, who hath given him advisor, giving him counsel. He does his will on earth even as it is in heaven. Behold the nations, think of that, all of the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. You think about all the isles out there in the ocean. Perhaps some still undiscovered by man, and yet all of those is a very little thing to him because he put them there. Do you wonder whether or not he can actually call every one of those that he's purposed to save? He named the stars, the heavens, the isles. No matter how remote those sinners may be, he's determined already the bounds of their habitation, and he's determined how and when he will draw them. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. If you were to take all of those offerings that were offered, there wouldn't be enough in all of those offerings to satisfy this God. It took one offering. the offering of Christ. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Whenever the United Nations gets together, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance, but here it says they're counted to him less than nothing, vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Here we see the foolishness of men's idolatry. The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. That's a lot of work. Try to find some kind of God to help. That's the way man is in his blindness. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Verse 21. Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. So who puts up and who puts down? It's the Lord. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Who's he talking about? Verse 23, princes of the earth, judges, politicians, world leaders, all removed. Why do we even fret? Why do we even worry? Why do we get all riled up about who's going to be elected and who isn't? It's the Lord that's determining it. Where will they be in 5 years, 10 years? It says here, they shall not take root in his earth. He shall also blow upon them. They'll wither. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. That's the God of the Bible. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, as if to say, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding, only the unfolding of his purpose. We discover it as he unfolds it. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, revealed in Christ, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's why the writer of the Hebrews said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where our strength is. It's in him. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, what a precious portion of Scripture, just to be able to read it and to be reminded once again of who you are as sovereign God, almighty, ruler over men and nations, and not only omnipotent, but omniscient and omnipresent. There's not one speck of dust that rises from this earth, but what you ordain the rising of it, and you ordain its flight, and you ordain that place where it settles. What a comfort to know that you are such a God, and that you are directing all things to the glory of your Son. He is your glory, revealed in the flesh. And I'm thankful that we find here that you have devised that way in your holiness and justice, whereby you can be just and still declare righteous sinners such as we are. I pray, dear Father, as we open your word again this evening, that indeed that would be where our hearts and minds would be directed, to your blessed Son, that great shepherd of the sheep, the mediator between God and man, the one that you have ordained, appointed, and anointed to be the Savior of your people. Oh, what comfort to hear of him. And I pray that you would grant us ears to hear and eyes to behold him through your word this evening. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.